الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأقم الصلاة طرفي النهار وزلفا من الليل إن الحسنات يذهبن السيئات ذلك ذكرى للذاكرين صدق الله العظيم. Respected listeners, Imam Muslim rahimahullah has recorded a hadith in which he says Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned to us a very broad principle, a golden law. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says لكل داء دواء. For every sickness there's a cure. Now we know this applies to physical ailments, physical sicknesses. People have some type of complication. Then Allah has prescribed a cure for whatever the sickness may be, whatever the nature of that sickness may be. It's just that sometimes the cure is known to man and sometimes the cure is known to Allah, not known and not in the knowledge of any human being. Allah can send that knowledge down whenever He wishes and to whoever He wishes. The point to consider and learn is for every sickness there's a cure. We can extend this, and like this applies to physical ailments and sicknesses, this also applies to the maladies, problems and issues people may have, you and I may have, as far as our spiritual selves are concerned as well. For every problem, there's a solution. One educator mentioned a beautiful law. He says, we send our children to school, we educate them, we teach them, and one of the main reasons or purposes we have for them studying maths is problem solving. And he draws a principle from this entire study of maths. He says, maths may not teach us how to add love or minus hate, but maths definitely gives us hope to believe that every problem has a solution. Every problem has a solution. This has been explained to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam so many years ago. لِكُلِّ دَاءٍ دَوَاءٌ. Every sickness has a cure and every problem has a solution. So one problem every single human being faces, one dilemma everyone has in his life is, no matter what he does, no matter how hard he tries, unfortunately, intentionally, unintentionally, many a times mistakenly, people, all of us, you and I, we find ourselves in a situation that unfortunately Allah protect us, Allah forgive us, but we tend to fall into some slip, some crime, some sin or the other. Now this is a problem every human being faces, because this also has been explained by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, kullu bani adama khata'un. As long as you're a human being, you're gonna slip, you're gonna fall, you're gonna err, you're gonna make mistakes. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also shows us there's a solution for this problem. وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَابُونَ. The best of those who slip. Everyone slips. But you get two classes. Some slip and then they fall off to sleep in the slip that they fell into. And others, when they slip, then they make amends. They do the best they can to come out of whatever issue they have fallen into. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praises these people. These are the best of those who slip. Muaz radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives him advice. Ya Muaz, atbi'i sayyata alhasanata tamhuha. Oh Muaz, my advice to you. Knowing Muaz also is human. He's a sahabi. He's a'lamuhum bil halali wal haram. The greatest mufti. One of the greatest jurists of this ummah. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, oh Mu'adh, my advice to you. Not saying he's a sinner. Not saying he's going to deliberately go into haram and engage and leave out the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam knows he's a human
And as human beings, we will slip. So he tells him, "Oh Muaz, my advice to you, that you can practice on and you can pass on to others, أَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْهُهَا. If you ever fall into a problem, you see yourself getting involved into some crime, some error, something, then after you've committed that, don't lose hope. Don't feel, now I've fallen into this, now what do I do? Nabi says and tells him, follow up the wrong with the right. You did a wrong, you made a mistake, you slipped, you committed a crime. It may be something minor as well, but immediately, to the best of your ability, do something good after that wrong, because the good you do after the wrong wipes out the effect of a wrong. Like, our dishes get dirty, our vehicles get dirty, our homes get dirty. There's some grime, some dirt that settles onto glassware, onto crockery, onto anything. We use soap to get the dirt out. This is a daily occurrence. It happens every day. We use the soap to remove the dirt. Exactly like that. When dirt settles on our hearts, dirt enters our deen, our religion, our lives, then what we do, we look for something good. The soap, the detergent, is good deeds. Do any good deed. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, إِذَا عَمِلْتَ سَيِّئَةً فَأَتْبِعْهَا بِحَسَنَةٍ. O Abu Dharr, if you ever find yourself slipping into a wrong, then immediately follow it up with a good deed. Because that good deed, تَمْحُهَا, it will wipe out, erase, clean up, get rid of whatever effect the wrong brought into your life. Abu Dharr then goes further and says, أَمِنَ الْحَسَنَاتِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. He brings a simple good. Ya Rasulullah, you're telling me, follow, bring after a wrong deed, do a good deed. Ya Rasulullah, I have a question. If I read La ilaha illallah, he wasn't looking down, but La ilaha illallah is such a common thing, it's such a simple thing in the life of a mu'min, that a mu'min cannot be a mu'min without La ilaha illallah. It's a simple kalima. He asked, Ya Rasulullah, is this also part of good deeds? If I recite La ilaha illallah after committing a crime, will this have the same effect? What was the response? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, "Hiya afdalul hasanat." From all the good deeds, this is one of the most virtuous. So engage in that good. What good should we be engaging in? Anything. Any form of dhikrullah. Any form of istighfar. One sahabi, he comes up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says, "Ya Rasulullah, إِنِّي رَجُلٌ ذَرِبُ الْلِسَانِ. Ya Rasulullah, I've got a problem. As far as I'm a human being, I'm a man, but my tongue is a little rough on the edges, if I may give an understood translation. As far as my tongue is concerned, I'm a little bit rough on the edges. I sometimes raise my voice, I sometimes say things I'm not supposed to say. I sometimes may be at home," he says, "especially with my family, with my wife, I sometimes say things that I'm regretful for afterwards." What was the response of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He asks him, "Aina anta min al-istighfar? What's your habit? What's your take? How much of istighfar do you do? Because I make istighfar daily in one sitting more than 100 times. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving him a solution. He's not saying continue with your wrong. He's telling him, if you hurt someone, then the first thing, ask them for a forgiveness. Istighfar also means ask the next man for forgiveness if you hurt him. If that was your wife, if they were your children, if they were your neighbors, if they were someone you know, some family member, some friend, some colleague, ask them for forgiveness. And at the same time, turn to Allah in istighfar. Ask Allah's forgiveness, because the good you do after the bad you engaged in, that good will wipe out all the wrong that you have done. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu narrates a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, "Ma min muslimin yuznibu dhanban thumma yatawadda'u wudu'an thumma yatubu ila Allah illa ghufira lahu." Any Muslim, he commits some wrong, he engages in some haram, some wrong deed. Thereafter, he goes and engages in some act of purity, he makes wudu, and he performs two rakats of salah. That two rakats of salah is so powerful, it will wipe out and erase the wrong that he did before that. These are simple deeds. La ilaha illallah, astaghfirullah, performing two rakats of salah. Do it with the intention, Ya Allah, I've slipped, I do err, I've made mistakes, but oh Allah, I'm turning to you in tawbah. This is something Allah loves entirely. Where a person admits, confesses, acknowledges, comes clear that I've done a wrong, oh Allah, forgive me. And the next thing, do something to wipe the effect of that wrong out. And really, this person is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam terms as At-Ta'ibu Habibullah, the one who turns to Allah in tawbah by acknowledging his wrong and thereafter trying to do something to erase and wipe out the wrong. This man now earns the title of being the beloved of Allah. There are so many incidents in the hadith that teach us people did wrong, but after the wrong, they engaged in some good. And as a result of a simple good deed, Allah wiped out the effect entirely. We discussed a few good deeds we can do. La ilaha illallah, astaghfirullah, two rakats of salah, performing wudu and two rakats of salah. Another deed is some act of kindness. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Muaz, أَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. When you do a wrong, follow it up. Do a good deed after that, it will wipe out the wrong. And then he said, وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. Treat people with good character. In other words, extend kindness to everyone. The simple act of kindness. Allah has blessed us. Whether Allah has blessed us with a lot of wealth, whether Allah has blessed us with whatever little we have, but sharing what we have and making the next person's life a little bit easy, it brings so much of joy to Allah, so much of pleasure to Allah, that this becomes a means of a man securing his place in Jannah. We've heard the hadith time and again, who led a life of sin and haram. The hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, in limra'atin mu'misa, she was a woman who didn't do any good, her life was spent in haram, she used to engage in illicit actions and get money that was a source of income. One day this woman is passing by a well. This well, she goes past, and at the edge of the well, it was the Arab lands, extremely hot, temperatures going into 40, 50 degrees Celsius. She sees a dog whose tongue is hanging out of its mouth. This dog is thirsty. She takes pity on the dog. She comes to the well, because the dog is on the outside, on the top. It cannot draw water because the depth of the water is not as high as the floor. It's right at the bottom. She goes to extract some water, but there's no rope nor any bucket. She could have walked away. What if she saw a dog? A dog is a creature that people, a stray dog especially, people want to chase the dog away. She could have chased the dog away. But she said, let me be kind. I may be a bad woman. I may be doing wrong. This doesn't stop me from engaging in any act of kindness. She goes to the well and she sees there's no rope, no bucket. She could have walked away again. But she went the extra mile. She didn't have probably a lot of cash. She didn't have a lot of money. But whatever she did own, she removed her headgear, her scarf. She converted that into a rope. And she removed her footwear, what she was wearing on her feet, her khuf, her moza. She removed that footwear, attached it to the scarf, put her footwear into the well, took out some water in her footwear, attached to the scarf, given it to the dog. The dog drank. It wasn't a small act of kindness given to a dog. She led an entire life of evil and haram. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, غُفِرَ لَهَا. She was forgiven for her entire life of sin as a result of a simple act of kindness that she showed to a dog. Muhaddithin say, specifically, deliberately, this incident highlights, mention is made of kalbun ala ra'si rakiyin, a dog, because teaching us the lesson. Commentators mention, if she got her Jannah being kind to a dog, what wouldn't a human being receive if he's kind to another human being? If she got a Jannah being kind to a dog, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فِي كُلِّ ذَاتِ كَبِدٍ رَتْبَةٍ ajrun, sadaqatun. Any animal you bring relief to, you are good to, you'll be rewarded for whatever relief and kindness you show to any living being. This was one woman. Then we find another incident. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, he narrates this hadith, and according to the narration of Sahih ibn Ibban, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu says, I heard the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeating this end incident. Not once, not twice. He goes up to seven. According to the narration of Sayyidina Ibn Hibban, he says, I heard the Rasul of Allah with my own ears. Over 20 times I heard him repeating the story. What was the story? He says there was a man from the Banu Israel whose name was Kifl. We probably heard this incident also. But what's the lesson we take? What's the importance we show? These incidents teach us, no matter what wrong a person is engaged in, there's always hope for him to do some good and clear that wrong and become the favorite of Allah. So Kifl was a man, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Rasul of Allah, who never exaggerated, who never had a fraction or a shadow or a slight taint of any type of lies in his statements. All his statements were correctly guided. He says, كَانَ كِفْلٌ مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ لَا يَتَوَرَّعُ عَنْ ذَنْبٍ عَمِلَهُ. This man didn't stay away from any wrong. He, whatever he wanted to do, any type of haram he engaged in. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, one day a woman came up to him, a beautiful woman, and he offered her 60 gold coins to share the bed with her and engage in some haram illicit act. So she agrees. Until he brings the 60 coins, he gives it to her. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, he's about to engage in this haram act of zina, and as he comes up to her, ur'idat wa bakat, he breaks out into a shiver. She begins shaking, and she starts crying profusely. So Kifl moves back and he asks her, akrahtuki, what's the matter? Why are you crying? My yubkik, what makes you cry? Did I force you? Am I doing something against your will? She says, no. But this is an action I have never done in my life. I haven't engaged in haram in my life. The only reason I accepted your offer of 60 gold coins is because I'm going through dire constraints. I'm going through difficulty. I can't make ends meet. So I took the offer, but I don't want to do this. He says, you've never done this before, and you're engaging in this. He felt ashamed. He said, whatever money I've given you, keep it. Keep it, and I won't do this. And it was on this occasion, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, he took an oath, Wallahi, la a'si Allah ba'dahu abada. From this point onwards, I will never disobey my Allah. I won't be a disobedient servant. I'll try and leave out haram to the best of my ability. He left the haram, he moved away, he didn't defile this girl, and the 60 gold coins that was his, he could have taken it, but he heard she was in need. He didn't say take one, take two, he said take all 60. All 60 gold coins he gave it to her. That night, mouth was written for this man Kifl. He passes away, the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the next morning, it was a habit amongst the Banu Israel, when someone died, his fate and destiny and how he ended up was written on the on his door, outside his door. فَأَصْبَحَ, when people came in the morning, أَصْبَحَ مَكْتُوبًا عَلَىٰ بَابِهِ إِنْ قَدْ غُفِرَ لِلْكِفْلِ. When he gets up, people see abroad like a type of a frame or a poster outside his house, divinely placed there. Kifl has been forgiven for every crime he ever committed. A life of sin, but some good deed. It shows the value Allah has for the good deeds we engage in. One person decided to obey, to worship Allah. تَعَبَّدَ عَابِدٌ مِّن بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ فِي سَوْمَعَتِهِ سِتِينَ سَنَةً. This man decided, I'm going to engage in ibadat, in seclusion, away from people. He built some monastery on the top of a mountain. He goes into that monastery for 60 years. Pure ibadat. Not just for 10 days of itikaf. 60 years pure ibadat. Not meeting anyone, no family, no friends, no wife, no kids, no distraction at all. He's only engaged in worshipping Allah. After 60 years, he takes a peep from the mountain, looking down into the town and the village he once left. And he says, he looked there and he says, things have changed. Compared to 60 years ago, there's so much of development in this village. So he says, if I come down and I also spend some time in the village I once left, I'll be able to benefit from what they, from the developments, and I'll be able to engage in more ibadah. He comes down. With him was Raghifun or Raghifan. He had one flat bread or two flat breads. He comes down. And as he's entering this village, a beautiful woman comes to him. فَلَمْ يَزَلْ يُكَلِّمُهَا وَتُكَلِّمُهُ حَتَّى غَشِيَهَا. He began engaging in conversation. He spoke to her, she spoke to him, became very informal until unfortunately he engaged in the sin of haram, zina, illicit relationship with her. And then he, after he committed this crime, he passed out. When he wakes up, he realizes he's got to go for ghusl. He goes for ghusl to a nearby stream to have a bath. Well, as he's bathing, there's a beggar that goes past asking for something. He indicates to the beggar, here's a flat bread lying with my stuff. You can take that flat bread for you. It was written after he had a bath that night, this abid, this worshiper passes away. So then it's mentioned that he's brought before Allah and his 60 years of ibadat is put on one side of the scale of good deeds. And the one moment that he committed zina is placed on the other side. The zina is so heavy it outweighs 60 years of ibadat. This man is in a predicament. But then, that one roti, that one bread is brought, that one bread is placed on the other side of his good deeds. And as a result of the one bread placed there, his good deeds weigh heavier than his evil deeds in the zina he committed. And this man was forgiven. Teaching us, after a wrong, engaging in the good wipes out the wrong. Allah says in Quran, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Engage in good, because good deeds wipe out the effect of evil deeds. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala make us from amongst the ta'ibin. May Allah make us from amongst those who will be truly forgiven. May Allah make us from amongst those who always follow up evil deeds with good ones. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانًا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.